My bro says we shouldn't do intros anymore.
They do take a while. I will say that.
You've listened a lot. You're a good critic. We've actually, right before we opened the mics, we were discussing ways to improve the show. So what should we simply say? The show's Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio. You're Howard Flood.
Yeah, letting people know who else has joined you in studios normally a good way to start it.
All right.
Hey, I got a question. Has there ever been a Papa's Basement where you were not on the show? You actually had a substitute come in and just fill in or whatever?
One time.
Who was that?
One time. There was a girl. God, what was her name? Andy Rosen or something? I forget if she was like Romanian or Jewish or something. Like, she had kind of a Jewish exotic look to her. You know, like the olive skin and stuff. And one time, I was down in Richmond for Halloween, and my bro just has a thing for chicks with busted noses. Like, he loves, anytime you see a gaggle of girls and one has a nose like Sadat, he is just like on board. It is just a weird thing he's got going on. And this chick, you know, like, she had a pretty kicking bod and kind of a jacked nose. I would have gone for it, but, you know, Will showed interest, and he, like I said, he has that nose thing. So I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. So she was, back in the day, Andy Rose, that was it. And back in the day, she was trying to get a show over here at Fairfax County Public Access.
Right.
And I believe she came in and technically hadn't been taught the boards yet. And Will really could only ape what he saw me doing from across the board, which isn't close. It's like,
right.
It's like if you watched a surgeon perform surgery and you're like, I think I got the gist of it. And you just take a knife and stab someone a lot. You're like, oh, he puts this in and blood comes out.
Because I work a lot with digital audio workstations, and this scares me. Like, the actual physical board, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what
button
to push.
Not to it. I mean, it takes a couple weeks to get very comfortable with it.
You need to know what the buttons do, man.
Yeah, exactly. Don't turn it on and then say the F word 18 times. That's it. You know, make sure everyone's voice comes out. That's really the extent of my advice.
But they managed to finagle an episode out despite this lack of knowledge?
No, they did pretty horribly. It was dead air for 20 minutes. I believe they finally got on air and just talked about, like, are we on air? And then it ended really in an ugly way because I came back and she was actually on then an episode with me and really just tried to make it about her. And I was like, calm down, you know, it's your third, fourth mic or something this episode, relax. And you know, she was there to plug her show, and she was like, well, I'm going to play the music that no one's heard of before. I'm like, you're every prick with a podcast ever then. And everyone who doesn't think they're baby Howard Stern thinks they're a Wolfman Jack for this millennium.
This is why you definitely keep calling me back. I think the fear of having to bring new people on scares
they're
the crap
horrible.
Out of you.
New people are horrible. That's why everyone keeps dating the same chick if they're even reasonably happy.
Yeah.
Like, who wants to date someone new? Like,
fear of the unknown.
Yeah. And the unknown is something to be afraid of. Never let any positive thinking person tell you otherwise.
Whatever,
the
man.
The unknown can contain horrible things. Haven't you ever seen one of those old timey sea maps? There's dragons in there.
You ever jumped off the high dive?
Yeah, and I never knew how to like dive properly, so I just like smashed my testicles and belly into the water.
But you don't think it was worth it that first time when you got up there and you're just scared? Completely out of your mind.
I have a weird sense of what scares me and what doesn't, and like some things don't they never get conquered fear-wise either. Like I felt mild agitation climbing the high dive, but it never went away. Like, it wasn't as bad as the other kids, but they kind of got over it, and I just felt slightly anxious every time. Again, I couldn't dive at all though. Like, I could just pencil dive and I'd have water shoot up my rectum and my nostrils.
Yeah, just what's wrong with that?
Or it's a lot, apparently. It's like how you can rupture your colon.
Well, I tried to cross the legs at the ankles. You know, I think that's one way to like save the
hold
nards.
Your penis.
Yeah, you got to do it, man. Do one of these. Get the. I don't know why people always only put one hand on their nards and then they had another arm crossed over their opposite shoulder.
It sounds like a woman who is like naked for some 80s comedy set piece.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sounds like Babs at the end of Animal House when they strip off her dress, the Deathmobile or whatever.
They need to rename that dive.
The Hemsies.
80s PG nude scene.
Screw that. Those 80s sex comedies were the best. Kids are like, how did you live without internet porn? We had movies like Zapped. That's how.
Porky's. Oh, Porky's.
You had Frankenhooker. Take you 18 viewings to make it through the flick. All right, let's discuss the show outline. Again, we're doing outlines now. We're an organized show. We're big boys.
I approve that. However, I don't think referencing it as an outline is the wisest way to do it. It reminds people of, you know, work. I have to make outlines when I write at work.
Well, it's not very sexy or organic either. It's like if you're in bed with your chick and you're like, I'm going to munch your box as foreplay now before the vaginal penetration.
Come on, man. What happened to the radio professional? You got to act like, oh, yeah, we got a great show for you today. Check these things or whatever, you know. Highlight of the show is going to be our discussion about X.
It's good. Great is stretching it. It's not bad. If you've heard this show before, you're getting about the same as you're getting every episode. We don't have guests. I use the same co-hosts. What did you expect? It'll run 50 to 60 minutes.
Hey, man, your guests are usually pretty good. You get a guest on here? It's
the
fun
times,
man.
I get a guest, I'm very happy. But I want to talk first and foremost about Anthony Cumia of Opie and Anthony Renown getting fired by SiriusXM on the 4th, I believe, of all days.
So what's the show now? Is only he got fired?
Only he got fired.
So it's just the Opie show?
I in protest, took my unit, even though it's a free employee unit that gives me, like, you know, I don't have to pay crap for it. I took it out of my car and tweeted photos of that to Sirius and Ant. I don't know if they were back today. I think they were off, but I don't know if it was just Opie and Jim Norton, their comedian,
right,
who were back for, could be the remainder of the contract. I think they're actually booked up through October. But as of now, Anthony is gone, and we'll dwell on that a lot. It's a very interesting story. Deals with free speech, race stuff, radio comedy.
Okay.
It's very weighty. I love the show, so it's very near and dear to my heart. I feel I have a okay take on it, but I would surmise that everyone who hears the story thinks they can crack the Da Vinci Code that it is in 5 seconds.
Yeah, I haven't actually heard the details, so I'm going to draw on that.
Yeah, everyone thinks they understand stuff better than everyone else, and everyone else is an idiot. So I mean, I
did mistakenly, I shouldn't say mistake, it wasn't a complete mistake, but having gone and received a law degree has given me an unusual purview into the world of why people deserve to get fired sometimes. So we'll see if I actually agree with you on this one or not. I don't know the facts yet.
And again, yeah, we'll just get to the story. I also have a good one about a hotel air conditioning unit breaking on me. I know it's not good. An AC unit broke on me and leaked like Chinese water torture for the whole night. And I've been calling Punjab India for the last 2 weeks trying to get a refund from hotels.com for my hellish experience.
See, that's the lead, man. That's the lead right there. Colin Punjab, everybody has to do that at some point. Like, anytime your Dell breaks down, guess who you're talking to?
Yeah.
Chances are it's not an American.
And the first time out when I called the next day when I had zero sleep and had zero sex and everything the day after the hotel, but was out 170 for it.
Mm.
I lost my mind cursing on this guy that answered the phone in a way I never have.
Mm.
I am not one of those phone tough guys, but I was, I guess, a little loopy from zero sleep. And it got to the point where I was just swearing into a phone and then finally put it back to my ear. And he was like, sir, please stop using profanity with me. He had a script, I guess, for all the fat, angry Americans that call him. And he was busting it out on me. And finally, I just screamed a final F you and hit the end button. And my girlfriend also got harassed in a parking lot. That's a nice little knee slapper.
Oh, yeah. That's a DC area classic right there.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like parking your car in the ghetto and your girlfriend lightheartedly suggests she's going to stay in. And it's funny. Ghetto people might have strong words and attempts to acquire a very blonde woman.
Yeah.
It might be something of a treat they don't typically see in the neighborhood. So it's all good. Let's start with Opie and Anthony. For those who know nothing of the pair, they are a radio comedy duo along with comedian Jim Norton. He's the third guy in the mix. and they started in New York. Well, they started in Boston in the early 90s. They got huge coming to New York and running in afternoons. And I think about 2005, they've had several firings throughout their years. They got fired from Boston because they, was it Mayor Menino, I think, at the time, the guy who just left. They said that he had died on air. And it was like kind of this perfect storm because he was flying, I think, across the country. So everyone was trying to get a hold of him and be like, did you really die? And no one could reach him. So all of a sudden it really picked up momentum. Like, holy crap, Mayor Menino died. And that got them fired from Boston.
Wow.
In New York, they got fired back in 02, I believe, for it was called Sex for Sam. It was a contest for Sam Adams, Jim Cook, I believe the spokesperson, used to be really tight with them and come on the show all the time. And it was great because he has a, I'm Jim Cook, like kind of quiet, mousy, almost Milton voice to him. And they would just be like, hey, Jim, come like bang this chick with a trout, you know, stuff like that. It's just all sorts of stereotypical shock jockery. And you got mild-mannered Jim Cook. And the contest was people would go around the city and have sex in weirder and weirder places for more and more points to win the contest. And someone banged a chick in the place that can't make babies, but not the place where food goes in, where it comes out.
Right.
In, I believe, St. Patrick's Cathedral. And the Catholics smile upon that.
Wow.
It's weird, yeah, because Jesus was all about forgiveness, but they weren't. And that got them fired from New York, and that landed them on Sirius, I guess, 3 years later when their contract was done back in like 04, 05. And ever since then, they've continued to have a show that really, I don't want to say pushes boundaries. They're not so big into the shock jockery anymore, but they're, just punch me in the balls if I say shock jockery a third time. They're not so big into doing the whole shock thing, but Ant is pretty conservative and he's pretty open about being very pro-gun, and he really will talk very openly about his beliefs that there is a hugely disproportionate amount of crime in the black community. Again, his words, not mine.
Right.
I really don't focus on this crap one way or another. Even if you listen to the show and you're like, hey, John makes a lot of racist jokes or whatever, I don't give a second thought to it when I walk out of the studio. He, in his free time, will tweet a lot of like gun statistics and violence statistics and be like, why does this always go on in the black community? Like, he will focus almost laser-like lately on what's going on in Chicago, where it's like 20 people are shot a weekend.
Right.
And as a gun dude, he'll be like, why is this okay? And then people lose their mind for Sandy Hook. And in this almost racist way, he's kind of crusading for equality. He's like, why is it such big news when a white person kills white kids, but when black people kill black people, no one gives a crap?
That is pretty messed up.
It really is. He's
from
like,
any political perspective, it's just like, there's something wrong. There's something really wrong with that.
He's like, why is it when one white person loses their mind and shoots up a crowd, there isn't enough assault rifle banning talk and this and that, and why is it where weekend after weekend, illegal handguns are on the streets in black neighborhoods and black people are shooting black people? Why isn't that covered? Why isn't that dwelled upon? Why, you know, the average, he's like, why in these black neighborhoods are people so afraid of like white racism when the odds are they'll get shot by black people?
Although I'll say this, in Baltimore, where I live now, like it's very much reported. Like anytime there's an incident, regardless of race, they're just like, guess what happened? It's Baltimore.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think we are all a little desensitized. Especially when you hear, we have 3 murders this year in Arlington, which for those not in the DC area is a very she place.
Right.
And we've had 3 murders and people are losing their minds. And
it's ridiculous. In
like Southeast DC, especially a couple of years ago, like 3 murders, that could be a bad week.
Yeah, that's 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And yet no one really cared because guess what? It happened in a black neighborhood and it was probably like black on black crime, and the news is just desensitized to it. I guess they don't think it sells. Maybe we don't care. I don't know.
There's not this fear of it's actually spilling over into the communities
where we live
that tend to consume the news.
Yeah. So Ant will just tweet about that a lot. He has, really, for the duration of his time on Twitter, posted tweets to that effect. So let me just preface everything with that. And on air, he makes no bones about his political affiliations and his beliefs. When they have on black comics, is it like weird and tension fraught? No, he seems fine with people. You know what I don't know.
I mean, black comedians who go on a show are not really there to like talk about the history of segregation in the United States and like why exactly demographics look the way they are and why there's like rampant poverty due to that segregation.
Yeah, even guys who came out of that environment, like they're really close friends as far as you can be with a guest, I suppose, with Mike Tyson. He comes on the show repeatedly. They get along. Tyson talks about his horrible past where he was just mugging people in Brooklyn left and right. Ant will just laugh along. He's like, I don't really care.
Right.
They had T.I. on the show recently. They had DJ Who Kid, guys from the rap community. They, you know, once in a while, like, they'll get to something, but...
I have to just say, I don't think T.I. is a very good rapper.
No, I don't think he's anything special, but...
I just have to say that, like, okay, moving on.
So, what happened? Last Tuesday, I believe around 3 in the morning, Anthony is in Times Square. He claims he does photography. He shoots now and again. He, like every, I think, rich guy, coughs up for like a 4 to 6K camera and learns a couple photography tricks. And they're like, hell, I'm an artist now.
Right.
So he was shooting pictures of people and places and all kinds of junk.
I don't like where this is going. All right.
So into one of his photos, either he was snapping the surrounding area, I don't really know what he claims, or he was just photographing this woman who, given how she's dressed at 3 a.m. and walking around, probably, he thinks she might have been a streetwalker. Not a big deal, just a black chick. She seems kind of done up.
This is in Times Square?
This is in Times Square, yeah. She walks past, he snaps a photo. She immediately is like, hey, you can't snap my photo, delete the photo. And I believe was kind of aggressive about it, according to him. He says, look, legally I can snap pictures of whatever the hell. I'm not taking like voyeur photos.
That's not true.
He's just saying he's just snapping photos.
All right.
He usually has a pretty good legal mind. Like, he's a very well argued, very well reasoned guy. So... he claims whatever he was doing was within the bounds of the law. He's very big on making sure that is always the case. Sorry. I need water sometimes.
No, that's fine. It's just he's clearly invading the privacy in some respects of that person. Or their right of publicity, I would think.
Okay, then what if he is photographing an area and someone walks through it?
They shouldn't be recognizable.
Okay, fair enough. So what then happens is he's like, I don't really want to delete the photo. Sorry. She starts screaming, you white mother effer, and begins to strike him with her fists in the face.
All right. Well, yeah, that's not the proper response to someone taking an unauthorized photo of you.
Yeah. I think we can all agree with that so far. Even if you're not happy with it, you don't get to beat someone.
Yeah.
You can contact a cop, tell them what happened. So from there... a couple of guys, surrounding guys who also happen to be black, because this story does get racial, so I'll mention everyone's race. They get black, or they are black. They didn't get black. like an angered chameleon. Sorry, I was checking my phone. It was making static that was picking up on air for some reason. So a couple black guys then start heaving some choice words at him as well. They don't really get physical with him. No one gets physical. He was carrying a legal gun. He didn't pull it or produce it. He's like, look, I know my rights. I'm not really supposed to pull this damn thing out unless I feel my life's in danger. And at the end of the day, a chick was hitting me in the face. It's a chick. Who gives a crap?
Right.
So he goes home around 4 a.m. and just starts tweeting. He calls her see you next Tuesday. He says, of course, it's endemic of that community, something to that effect, that everything just escalates immediately to violence. And a lot of stuff to that. He posts the photos of her just like beating him. Like, you can kind of see her in his face as he's snapping a photo.
Wow.
Stuff like that. And Gawker, a writer for Gawker, gets a hold of it, I believe, Wednesday. And goes with the story of here are these horrible racist things and sexist things that Anthony of Opie and Anthony said on Twitter. And that really gained traction. Again, mind you, he has said stuff exactly to this effect years upon years.
So there's nothing like egregious compared to previous incidents.
Oh, God, no. Oh, the only difference being it happened to him. That's the only difference.
And so he just took an opportunity of like when he was assaulted.
To be like, I told you so.
To like then just make more general statements about the black community based on.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, mind you, I personally, whether or not I agree with anything he says, I don't study stats a lot. Me speaking from a possible place of ignorance, does seem there's a lot of crime in lower end communities, but I'm not saying it's a race thing any more than it's a money thing. Hold on. We're getting a call, not an actual call, business call. Give me a second. Before we were so rudely interrupted. Howard, you're about to say something. Please say you still remember it, even though we...
Yeah, no,
We just listened to the guy who hijacked Captain Phillips put in a call.
No, I guess what surprises me about this being the time that he gets crap for saying racist things, because it sounds like it's no different than what his normal rant is.
Absolutely not.
The one difference...
I can say that much.
What's strange is the one difference to me is he was actually physically assaulted, which, I mean, we've talked about it numerous times on this show, like... When I get cut off in traffic, I just figure out what the person's race is, or hopefully they're a woman so I can call them a see you next Tuesday. Like,
yeah.
I look for something that's
See,
like,
I like blatantly, the race and the gender.
Yeah, it's just, you have to double up if you have that opportunity, man. It's one of those things where, like, you were slighted, you were wronged, you have no basis to insult this person other than on their appearance.
Yeah.
So you go for it, because it's really offensive.
It's like putting more patties on a burger. It's just better.
So that's the part where if you actually experience something, this is the moment where you almost have to get that person a pass. I mean, there's something still wrong with it, and yet it's just like, you know, he got punched.
I hadn't even thought of that. It's he should be given more of a pass given he had been hit.
That's my take, yeah.
That's really not a bad take at all. I hadn't even thought of that angle. So what happens instead, this Alexander, spelled with a K, A-L-E-K-S-A-N-D-E-R. I guess Alexander Chan or Chin, I forgot. Something like that.
Okay.
Asian cat. He writes a story and he goes on and on about like, oh, this disgusting sexist pig. Oh, how could he say this stuff about a black woman, blah, blah, blah. And you read it and at first you want to just, they don't even mention really the fact that he was struck and didn't strike her back in any way.
He didn't even pull his gun out to threaten her.
Yeah, it's like... The specter of racism hanging over this is so disgusting. It doesn't matter what happened on her end.
I don't know the details between this inflammatory reaction against him and his firing, but there is a part of me that wonders, without really following Opie Anthony much, if SiriusXM had something going on for a while where they're just waiting for an opportunity to get this show off their network.
Possibly. I'll say this much. Very ironically, Opie and Anthony on the show have had a segment going the last couple of months called The Apology of the Day, because they had kept track of the fact that our culture has entered a point where everyone's apologizing for any even perceived slight. And they've gone so far as to parse what lawyers have these people say. They're like, well, when you hear like a Paula Deen or an MSNBC anchor apologize, it's not even we are sorry. It is we are terribly sorry. Our vile, disgusting actions have no place. And they almost had a speech they could read aloud and be like, well, this is what this guy's going to say, because they had played so many apologies from other people to save their jobs, because that's the world we're in today for whatever reason. So the Gawker story gets out. The Post, Washington Post picks it up. New York, I think Daily Post or whatever picks it up too. Run completely with the sexist pig, racist, horrible racist things, because he used the word savage. Not even like N-bombs flying left and right. He says something like this savage sea hit me. And I think by Friday, early Friday, because I heard about it Thursday night, early Friday, Sirius is like, yeah, what this guy, what Anthony Cumia stands for is not what we stand for. This is abhorrent. We're firing him. Just like that.
I mean, it's pretty recent, too. The other flip side is, as a corporation, sometimes it's better to just get in front of this media storm and just be like, he's fired. And then, you know, honestly, by next Monday, he could be back. That's the other thing. And nobody's going to care by then. Like, who's really going to be upset at that point? Like, can they believe they brought him back? Like,
I don't really...
It depends, man. Like,
I guess my first concern is, really, would there have been a media storm? Do we care at all nowadays?
About
anything that really we're told we should care about by, I don't want to say the leftist media. That sounds so conservative. But, like, Paula Deen, for example. If Paula Deen, who said why she dropped the N-bomb, like, 90 years ago... Like,
no.
Back when that was the legal term or whatever?
No, she, like, in more recent years did actually set up events where they were traditional Southern so that the majority, if not all the staff, were black, and then they were required to use different doors from the guests.
Oh, that's messed up as hell.
Yeah, no, what she did was really bad, man. And this was in the 80s. You're not talking, during the segregation. You're talking about...
I mean...
Like, dude, Oprah already had her talk show, and Paula Deen was acting this way, man.
I mean, all I could say is the 80s were still pretty damn racist. Like, going back to those 80s comedies, there wasn't... You know how we say, oh, look, the token black guy in the mix? They didn't bother with that in the 80s. It was just all white guys all the time.
Yeah, but still, if you were ignorant, you wouldn't ask your black guests or employees to use a different bathroom from your white ones. Like, that's kind of how she was acting back then.
Okay, she's scum.
She's off the rocker.
I'm not really trying to defend her.
All right, good.
She's scum. I'm just saying, if they hadn't fired her, if they just put out a statement saying, what she did is horrible, let the fat bitch cook with a pound of butter, who really cares? Would there have been any real backlash, do you think? Do you really think people would have organized and boycotted sponsors?
I personally probably would have stopped watching the Food Network.
Okay.
I definitely like found the things that were described as problematic, even if like the specific lawsuit that was brought were not the issue. Even if she were not liable for the things that she had done to this one particular employee. The things that this employee described that she had witnessed, I was like, wow, this is why, like, you cannot mistreat people when you yourself are a bad person, because it will come back and bite you in the ass later.
Yeah.
Like, this woman just spilled her beans about things she had seen that didn't necessarily matter to the lawsuit at hand.
So we shouldn't mention that I make you pull me into the station on a rickshaw every episode. Can we keep that on the DL?
Yeah, this rice paddy hat that you're making me wear.
The coolie hat, yeah.
But no, I think it's a very different thing what you're describing with Opie, because the difference with him is, I'm sorry, Anthony.
Yeah.
I get white guys confused sometimes.
It's all right.
So Anthony sounds like he's very upfront always about who he is. He doesn't have this like facade of
nothing.
I'm a nice Southern gentleman. Just try to make everybody feel welcome.
That's not who he is. You could have gone through, I think he's been on Twitter 5-6 years. Since day one, you could have found tweets exactly like this in order to flip out about him.
I guess my personal feeling is that for SiriusXM, they're taking one of two strategies. They want to get rid of these guys for a while.
Well, their contract is up in October.
All right. Well, they probably don't want to renew them. And so this is a great out. This happened to a friend of mine. He worked for a government agency. There was a FOIA request that was refused, even though it was something that the agency had to give by law. So my friend was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to comply, because this media outlet that's probably going to use this information against the agency deserves this information. And when the powers that be within the agency found out he did this, he was on watch. And they just waited for him to screw up. So he got fired.
Jeez.
Never would have happened if he hadn't. So whatever, all I'm saying is the application to Open Anthony is that if they were sick of them, they were just waiting for the day there was something they could fire him for. And this was exactly it. So that's one of the theories.
I mean, it's not the worst. It's certainly not the worst, because, well, we'll get to it in a minute. This has cost Sirius a lot, like financially.
You think?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll get to that in a minute.
Because, I mean, that's the divide for them. It's either going to cost them the O&A fans, or it's going to cost them everybody else, is the fear.
I if that is their fear, they're very dumb.
But here's the other thing that I'm getting at. You could probably keep both if you just say you're firing him today and then he's back in a week.
I suppose.
The Twitter frenzy will be gone by then. In all likelihood.
I'll finish up what happened. So a lot of comedians, who, like people close with the show, some came out and defended him. But a lot of guys who really had no role on the show, like there's an Indian dude on Silicon Valley, Kumail Nanjiani. If you watch Silicon Valley, he's the Indian programmer.
Okay.
He's part of the group. And he's a comedian from out west. And he tweeted something to the effect of like, I really hate the fact that people think freedom of speech in comedy means I have to defend some racist. Like he put that out there. And Will Wheaton, you're a Star Trek nerd. You know him all too well.
Despise his character from Next Generation.
I'm not big on him in real life either. He's one of those like waify little nerdist guys.
He's redeemed himself as he's gotten older. Slightly.
Is he like he hits?
He's gone the
he
Neil.
Probably hits like Good Kitty, doesn't he? Just like Nerdist again.
He's kind of taken the route of Neil Patrick Harris. He's like the Kmart Light version of that, where he's just owning
but he's
the
straight,
fact that
right or.
I guess.
I thought he was with a chick.
Okay, I don't follow.
Hold
his
on, let me Google Will Wheaton girlfriend real fast. Give me a
second. By the way, I saw Hedvig live at in New York a few weeks ago. NPH was pretty freaking awesome as the lead singer of The Angry Inch.
A friend of mine who's really obsessed with that movie, Brian Carr, we've talked about him a bunch.
Yeah.
He did not like the NPH version. He saw it somewhere and maybe he just downloaded it.
Okay.
If that's his girlfriend, she's all right. Another really pasty chick. Again, a man who's all about diversity.
Yeah. Right.
With a woman so white, yeah, you could like set colors to her. For printing purposes. All right. So that Kunal, I don't remember his name. Sorry. Nothing against him. It's his opinion. I don't want to slam the guy for not agreeing with me.
Right.
But he's like, why do I have to defend a racist for freedom of speech? And Will Wheaton was like, yeah, people don't seem to grasp that freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom from consequence. And yeah, even people who I'm close with and I figured would agree with me here on a intellectual level regarding this, a lot of them were like, well, yeah, it's his company and they can fire him. And legally they can. But the first argument I'm trying to make after this 40 minutes of preamble here, what exactly is freedom if there's a consequence involved? Like, if I say I have a freedom of speech, but then I can be readily punished by an employer, just not the government. Really, what freedom is that? Like, does it matter who can punish me?
I mean, it's far more remote now than it used to be, but you used to get thrown in prison for saying things against the crown or the church. And I think that's the
difference.
It's
gotten better. It's 100 times better. You're right. I mean, hell, I could make fun of Louis XIV and have, like, my hands chopped off.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, being able to say what you want without, like, fear of criminal punishment.
Yeah, that's there isn't corporal punishment, but shouldn't freedom mean I'm not getting punished? Like, don't you think that it's like saying I have the freedom to murder, I'm just going to face the consequences of murdering someone?
I don't know, man. I am highly suspicious of the position you just articulated. For me, I think of, let's say you're an employee at McDonald's, you're a corporate exec type working for like the largest fast food chain in America, and you suddenly have a change of heart, like become Hindu, decide that meat is murder or whatever, and then you proactively go out into society and are telling people like, don't eat the food for the company where I collect a paycheck.
I think that's so much more against the company though. Like,
I know,
this
but
guy did,
it's an opinion of, like, you shouldn't eat the thing that I'm selling, that my company sells. It's just, it's like, why is that person less free?
Are you doing it on company time?
No, but I'm saying, like,
like, does someone come through the drive-thru and you're like, this is going to kill you and you're going to hell?
No, it's independent. But you're still undermining, like, the people who pay you.
Yeah, in an abstract way. If it's McDonald's, do they really care if you scare
one person
away? Are you
kidding? Are you telling me that if There were a Hindu executive at McDonald's who was going out in his free time.
An executive or some peon who makes my French fries?
I'm talking about somebody who has like their MBA from Penn or something like that. And they're just going out there telling people like, don't eat meat.
Well, I guess if he's high enough up in the company, yeah, it could be an issue.
It's those folks would be the poster child of like the don't eat meat campaign. This is the kind of person that would be front and center. And it's just, you have to fire that guy. It's like,
yeah,
no,
but
you
he's
cannot
part
work
of the
it.
Infrastructure. I thought you had just said like some guy, again, one of your fry cooks.
It doesn't matter who it is. Like, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that if you're going to have freedom of speech and free, like freedom of fear of repercussion from your employer, it has to be complete freedom regardless of what your viewpoint is. So even if you have a viewpoint that's contrary to the employer, that what you're saying, I think, is that you shouldn't be fired for having a view that actually undermines your employer's ability to make money.
I mean, you probably got me on in some ways. What I really want to put out there is people are arguing Sirius fired this guy then because he would hurt them in the long run, right? We're not so dumb that we're going to say Sirius fired him because they're doing the quote unquote right thing, right?
No, there's something else going on here.
Stupid? Okay.
If he made enough money for them, they wouldn't
touch
him.
If it's a money thing, then Sirius and really a lot of companies that knee-jerk about this crap screwed up because they had so many cancellations over the weekend. And again, get this. They're trying, the majority of Sirius subscribers, I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're there for Opie and Anthony or Stern. I think those are shows number one and two in terms of listeners on the platform.
But the flip side is those guys cost a lot of money in order to have them on SiriusXM. So.
I want to say Opie and Anthony, the whole show is probably like 10 mil or under. Stern's 100. Stern's insane amount of cash.
Yeah, it's all hefty. It's all a hefty price tag, man. So I think that there's something else going on here. I think really they're not making as much money as they'd like. And Opie and Anthony probably want more money for the next contract renewal. So
they got so many cancellations that it actually brought down Sirius stock.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like,
that's amazing.
So you're telling me that if there isn't something else afoot, if they, there's three options here. Like what you're saying, they did it because they want O&A gone.
Yeah.
That's option one. Option two is they are doing the right thing. None of us believe that. Option three, they did the math and they figured this guy could cost us money by being around. We could lose sponsors, even though we are a subscriber thing. We're based on a subscription model. Somehow we're going to lose so many sponsors. Maybe Ford will keep us out of their cars because of this guy. Maybe they thought that, but they did. When you're trying to kiss ass for people that don't buy your product to begin with, you kind of fail. Like, it wasn't a wise move on their part. If they really were trying to say, like, okay, leftist guys that, like, just download NPR podcasts, guess what? This monster's gone. Those guys don't subscribe to Sirius in the first place. Like, they screwed up. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it just, it kind of harkens back to the Donald Sterling issue in the NBA, where I was very much on the bandwagon of like, he's got to be forced to sell his team and all that. And then when the information came out that the guy is apparently suffering from dementia now, you know, he's...
Yeah, but other people have said that he... that was kind of like a doctor that he got to say he was nuts.
Well, no, here's what the doctor really has done. He's allowed Stern's wife to take over and sell the team on his behalf because he's no longer mentally able to, supposedly.
It's
I'm just
weird.
Saying, like, people were not very receptive nor willing to consider the possibility that the old man is, like, actually mentally unstable and mentally unable to understand what he's talking about at this point. Like, he could have said it while he was in one of these, like, dementia episodes. And yet, like, the importance of, like, condemning him is more important than possibly considering one of his defenses.
It echoes what happened with Anthony, by the way, in that we don't care what precipitated it. Like, so many people. Like, we get these tapes of him saying, don't bring black people to my games. Not just to his one chick. Mind you, he's not endemically condemning the black. He's not condemning the black people across the board. He is not saying, don't bring like all black people. Isn't it? Wasn't he just like, don't bring like black dudes that you're pretty much screwing to my games? Isn't that the crux of these tapes?
Were I an employee of the NBA, like a player, I would have a problem with that. So I still feel like
I wouldn't be happy with it.
I would still want him to be forced to sell his team right now. I just would feel guilty about like decrying him as this racist that we can't stand for. It's like, he just sounds like an old man who like lost his filter.
Here's two more points I want to make as we go down the racial rabbit hole.
All right.
I feel just like we don't mention this chick assaulted aunt. Like the Gawker story just glosses over that. They're always like, he alleged this happened. It blew my mind. They couldn't even give the guy that. Like,
yeah.
He was struck. It's like, after allegedly being hit, he did all of this.
Yeah.
The same thing with Sterling. No one cares that V. Stiviano illegally taped this guy and put illegal tapes of him talking behind closed doors.
I don't know if that's true, because I think she had blanket permission to record private conversations for his private use, however.
I don't even believe that. I think she's tossing that out there to save her ass, if she is stating
that. I'll put it this way, like, it was a screw-up by the Sterling family, because they sued her to get back some of the gifts that he had given her for 1.8. They're a litigious family, and when you live that way, eventually.
Litigious Jew. Now I've heard everything.
But yeah, like, because they lived the lives the way that they did, something like that was eventually going to happen. That's why I don't feel sorry for them. Because like,
well, I don't
why
feel
would...
sorry for anyone with that amount of money who's banging like a 39-year-old.
But I also don't think that you can really bring up this whole, oh, she was illegally recording him thing, when you look at the fact that it never would have come out if his wife, and again, they're billionaires, right? Why is she suing his mistress for $1.8 million? It's a personal vendetta.
Well, yeah, but I thought the suit came after she dropped the A-bomb and like got this guy off of his team and out of the NBA.
No, it's the other way around. The lawsuit came, and then she said, if you don't drop this, I'm going to hurt you.
No.
And this is, so they shopped around the tape trying to see if people would buy it.
Of course they would.
And then they just ended up going this
route.
We all
get so a titter about race. Here's my other point. See, I've matured as a broadcaster. I remembered that I said I was going to make 2 points. Is everyone else so naive that they don't think at least some of the other 29 owners haven't made a racial comment?
Well, I think
haven't used that magical Voldemort word.
I think Mark Cuban was one who was the most like out in front on this one of, hey, you know, I could think of a few things I've said in my life that probably would get me in hot water just the same. But I think the real problem is what he was talking about on those tapes was that Magic Johnson was not a welcome guest on his bench. Here you have a Hall of Fame NBA player.
Would you want to sit in a chair after MJ? There, come on. Let's be real. Let's be nice and paranoid and AIDS fury.
But he was directly disrespectful to the majority of employees.
If you're going to diss Magic Johnson, let it be an AIDS thing, not a race thing. That's all I say. If I'm not going to shake his hand, it's because I'm weird about AIDS, not because I'm against black people.
But yeah, I think it was just the fact that you can't have a league where the overwhelming number of people that we all go to even see play the game are going to be offended by the very belief that this guy had about who can and cannot come into the owner's box. That's completely wrong. Like, it's untenable to ask employees to work in that environment. That's the difference to me. That's a very specific problem. So for other owners who like may have issues here and there using offhanded racist words, I mean, they shouldn't do it, and it could get to the point where they might follow Sterling on their way out of the NBA. But yeah, we all make mistakes. As like, honestly, I don't think he should have like kept that picture. I think at the end of the day, what Anthony should have done is just deleted it when the woman asked him to. I don't understand why he had to be a jerk about it.
He's a jerk. I can tell you just from what you've, as a listener, pick up from listening to the guy, I can almost guarantee she was bitchy about it from the start, and that immediately put him into a defensive, I know my legal rights mode. He does not seem the I want to smooth this over type, which, hey, shocker, that's probably what made him okay on the air
right.
for the last 20 years, if he had on a guest and was like, well, let's have a nice, smooth interview, not rock the boat, I doubt he gets much of a career.
He'd probably be working here with you.
Yeah.
Although, hey, the good news is, man, death. I think you've been looking at this the wrong way. Like, you got a free agent out there. I mean, he might need a new co-host.
Okay. I will kiss some Kumia ass, toot sweet. Maybe, so what, you're bringing up Sterling then as an example of people that should get fired versus Ant? I mean, what is your take, having heard what happened?
I'm with the Sterling thing, I think that he needed to be fired regardless of what else was going on in the NBA that might have...
That one really, really got to me because I felt, again, the dude's rights were trampled. And again, if you don't think one of the other 29 owners or another 10, you know, 15 of them haven't used language like that, you're a damn fool. But
it's just, it's a labor stoppage. It's literally like, yeah, I refuse to play at this man's arena.
In such a black league, what the hell are you going to do?
Like, no one can be required to work under those conditions. Like, I would never play a Clippers game. So it's like, you have to get rid of him because the people who actually make this league worth anything refuse to play at this man's
arena. Out of the
arena.
League, you can't have a guy so in charge of hiring and firing who's even said that stuff. Like, in my heart of hearts, do I think it ever, from what I heard Donald Sterling say, do I ever think it affected his hiring? I really don't. You can call me a naive piece of crap. You can say I'm trying to be a bigot about it. I don't think it ever affected him.
I kind of take a different view. I think he always had a plantation mentality about how he ran his organization. I think that's true. I think he treated it in a way that makes me very uncomfortable. And I think looking back on it, anybody who ever worked for him that's African-American probably feels that same way.
I'm not going to agree with the plantation part, but I think if you're black, you're going to look back at pretty much every dealing you had with the dude and be like, was there any sort of subtext I missed here?
Yeah, no, but he never talked to Baron Davis. People should just look up Baron Davis's description of being a member of the Clippers organization.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it was one of the worst periods of his life. And it's tough because you're collecting a $10 million paycheck, but the guy would constantly be on him about how much money he was paying him. That's basically the only information he ever got from Sterling. They never interacted directly.
But a lot of owners don't interact with their players much, in all honesty.
They'll say hi. You know.
Why can't he just be a Jew about it then? Maybe it's not a race thing. Maybe he's like, you're costing me $10 million, you piece of crap, because he's a cheap Jewish guy. Why don't we go with that stereotype?
There's something else going on. I mean, like, this tape reveals something that was often suspected about him in the past. Let's move on to the story of the day.
But, like, when I curse out the Spanish guy that delivers my Chinese food... not because I hate the Spanish. It's because I hate that I have to tip him $2.
Listen, that's a good transition point, I feel, to talk about Anthony again. This is a very different situation. He's a guy who just talks. He's not really in charge of, like, a whole lot.
He's not
at this
in charge point. Of a damn thing. And again, he's incredibly open. He has said these same things over and over and over again.
I don't think it was a necessity that SiriusXM fired him. That's for sure. I think everybody can agree that, you know, they had to kind of pick their poison as far as, do we placate the folks who are yelling for his head, or do we, like, make sure that we continue to cater to his fan base?
But, okay, here's what also has me exasperated. I think the quote-unquote outrage over this guy was nil. I think Gawker and all that stuff, they're clickbait sites, dude. They're nothing more than that. They're not journalism. They're, let's put out the sensational crap and the headline alone. Because I read all of these SEO things and how to build your traffic sites and crap like that. They're all like, go with the most inflammatory, shocking 6 words. It's always 6 words you can get in that title. And all they want to do is get you to click and kill time at work. And then you leave a comment while you're at work. That's it. They're just people sitting at their desk who aren't going to do a damn thing. They don't go out of their way to condemn anyone they read about. They're just schlubs at their desk. And I mean, everyone acts like something's going to happen because these people are reading, again, these clickbait articles. And nothing's going to happen. All Gawker wants is clicks. They don't give a damn if Ant's fired. They have no real conscience.
Yeah, no, I think the thing that those sites do that is their own undoing, is they're just looking for the next story anyway. So, like, they help to push this story to the bottom of the pile. This is going to be a non-issue soon. I think, like, you might see him come back to SiriusXM. I don't think this is over by any stretch of the imagination.
He's already going on. He has a home studio that he's put, like, several hundred thousand into.
Yeah.
Like, studio lights, green screen, everything. HD cameras. He can put out professional-grade products. And he does a show called Live from the Compound. He has a huge house on Long Island he calls The Compound.
All right.
I guess a kind of a nod to, you know, militias and stuff like that. And
Long Island is pretty conservative, actually, so.
Yeah, but it was already up there as the number one video podcast and, like, audio podcast in terms of new subscriptions on every category in iTunes or some crap. Like,
yeah,
that just shows me that the people who care about this guy and defend him are passionate about it. The people who have a problem could care less. That, again, like the Kunal guy, I'm not butchering his name to make some comedic racist point. It's just complex. Like my stupid last name, Papa Giorgio. So I don't really remember. Indian guy from Silicon Valley. He did one tweet on Ant. Do you really think he's going to dwell on the guy at all? No, he could care less, really.
Right.
He's just going to perceive it through a filter of this guy's a racist, boot him, but he doesn't give a damn. And it's so annoying to me that this whole tide of people who don't actually give a damn get to get a man fired from his job when they'll have something to be interested in for 15 minutes, 2 days from now.
I'm telling you, man, I think this is a pretext for firing him. I really don't think that they would have lost as many listeners who were like, I'm going to drop SiriusXM because have this racist thought.
You know, every situation is different. What can I say? But if you remember Duck Dynasty a few months ago, like, was the dad on the show was like, the gays and sodomites, blah, 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 blah. And who was it? A&E? Is he? No, A&E's Arts and Entertainment. What channel is he on? Is it A&E?
I think it is, yeah.
Is it? Okay. God damn, how the mighty have fallen. That's disgusting. That channel used to have opera on it when I was a kid. Now they've got these bearded anuses.
Yeah.
And they fired his ass, and people came out of the woodwork and were like, put him back on.
Yeah.
And they did.
Exactly. I mean, it's a great way to handle PR situations now where, like, you make that stand when it's at its worst. But just bring him back. Like, the fans are the ones who really care at the end of the day. Most of the rest of us, we didn't watch it in the first place. So, that's the thing. It's just going to blow over, man.
Well, it is, but I'm so annoyed that they kowtow to the people that are just, they're almost like little petulant Tasmanian devils. You know, it's just this S-storm for 5 seconds comes through, wrecks everything, and then they're gone. They don't care. They have no staying power. The people that actually care about Paula Deen, for example, going back to her, even though she's a piece of crap, what she did was pretty bad. But even firing Paula Deen, are we such kids that we can't handle she said these awful things? Like, if someone's contrite, if someone really seems to apologize, and they're like, you know what, I was a piece of S. Can we not be happy with that? We really have to cost someone their livelihood? Because what goes on a bigger stage, it will trickle down. There will come a time at smaller and smaller non-public jobs where, Christ knows, you could play some sort of tape from my show. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to, like, when these episodes of me, like, just resurface in the future, let me tell you.
Yeah, bite us square in the ass. And it's like, look, if I'm telling you as a man, I really don't have any bigotry in my friggin' heart. Yeah, you heard me behind a mic. Let me let you in on a little secret. Just because I'm behind a mic doesn't mean it's some sort of, like, magical truth-calling mechanism. I'm trying to entertain here. If I say, like, hey, look, why? I don't have any racial problems with anyone. But some employer finds this, and I got into a beef with, like, you know, someone of a different color or ethnicity or whatever the hell. And they do their research. They find this, and they bring it to my employer's attention. And I get fired over it. I don't see how that's fair. If I'm like, hey, look, I never directed any of that toward you. It's in a radio show. But if you are offended by it, you know what? Hell, I'm sorry you were offended by it.
Yeah, I mean, you can be contrite and still maintain your position in many cases. I think it's a little different when you are a public figure. I think that's the biggest problem with television
personalities. It is for now, but it's probably not going to be. I guess that's my final thought to Springer, this whole thing.
All right.
I really wouldn't be shocked, and we all put out our public lives now. Everyone has blogs, everyone has a Twitter account, everyone has a Facebook. You're going to see more and more people fired for crap like this.
You heard about that woman who gave the finger to a Quiet Please at Arlington National Cemetery?
Yeah, but what happened to her? I forgot. I just remember she got fired or something.
Because, well, I mean, it was a work trip, I believe.
It wouldn't have mattered if it wasn't.
But it was her personal Facebook account. And so, like, it was seen as a negative.
Well, I remember there was some chick, I think, who after the Boston Marathon bombing went to work, like, covered in blood with a marathon number on her.
Oh, that was her Halloween costume.
Yeah. And she gets fired. And not only that, like, people hack her photo bucket and find, like, all these photos of her naked and just put those all over the net. So whacked to those, by the way. She's like these nice big ones.
Oh my gosh, big
dark areolas.
Oh well.
Nice brunette with jugs and big nips.
Wow.
I am a predictable beast. She's a dummy. She's like 24.
That was the part that's really stung for her. I was like, that person's brain is still not like done growing.
Yeah.
Clearly.
So she loses her job, and for the rest of the rest of eternity, when Skynet arises and kills us all, Skynet will have in its banks memories of her nipples. They can make a Terminator and create her vagina and ass perfectly because her spread eagle photos were on the net for everyone to see because she made a dumb costume. Was that justice? Did any of that really have to go down? Don't you make more of a point by forgiving than punishing?
Yeah, we do have to figure out how to handle this this new Twitterverse, because trending topics really are able now to defend like very ordinary people, just people who don't stick out for any other reason than their Instagram suddenly blew up because of something they did that is not so popular.
God, I wish that would happen to me in a good way. Like, somehow I say something awful that gets me tons of viral traffic, but then everyone realizes I'm funny and subscribes to the show on iTunes. That's my wet dream.
I mean, you definitely would end up with more subscribers than you had before. I'll say that.
All right, let's engineer something. We'll go out on that note. Howard, thank you for joining me on the show. I guess I should play my outro music. That would be professionale of me. They want to get a hold of you on Twitter. It's at whatthefnheezy.
That's right.
What the letter F I N H E E Z Y.
There you go. It's not that hard.
I'm John Papa Giorgio at Papa's Basement on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to subscribe to the show, Papa's Basement, please do it. It helps my numbers. It gets me recognition in theory. It hasn't done any of that so far, but crossing our fingers. InPapa'sBasement.com is the show's website. Go there. And again, to subscribe, using Stitcher, inpapasbasement.com/Stitcher, and iTunes if you have an iProduct, inpapasbasement.com/iTunes. That'll take you right to a nice little subscription link. It's very good, very easy. And last but not least, if you want to advertise on Papa's Basement, who wouldn't? Reach our tens upon tens of listeners. I could name for you everyone your advertisement will reach. How is that for knowing your demos? That's how small my audience is. But if you want to advertise at the beginning, at the end, in the middle, I don't care. I'll mention every 5 minutes. I'll stop the show. I'll knock it off the tracks like a derailed freight train. Just so I can mention whatever you want me to shill. Email me, tweet me. It's inpapasbasement@gmail.com. But you can also tweet me and all that crap to continue with the whoring out of this fine, fine program. All right, guys. That was the show. And we are out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody. Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.